All right, it's that time again. It's time for Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetwork.com. Excited to be with you today, as we always are. Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, right here in Clearwater, Florida. Along with me today is that amazing one, Dr. Angel Falzoni, and our dear, also ministry partner, who happens to live in the cold, cold tundra of Michigan. And she will be along soon, Betty Thomas. And Dr. Angel, aren't you glad we don't live in the cold tundra of Michigan?
Oh, yes.
I mean, some of those posts of hers, I mean, it's cold up there.
Yes, it looks very cold up there. I am glad we're in the Sunshine State with beautiful beach weather today.
Oh, my gosh. I was in Indiana a couple weeks ago with my kids and grandkids, and I had to wear my long pants, Dr. Angel.
Do you even have long
pants? I do have long pants. And I'll tell you what, it was freezing up there in 38, 40 degrees, you know, in April. I mean, seriously.
Wow. You know, the North has really been getting a lot of cold weather.
It's had cold weather. Yeah. And we haven't been as hot as we normally are here either. So that's also a good thing.
Yes. It just means that we're not in the, you know, 90s. We're still, you know, nice, beautiful weather.
Yeah, we're in that gorgeous paradise weather right now. April, May, wow, usually can be very, very hot, but not for us right now. So that's a good thing. And so we are very excited about this show today, as we always are, Dr. Angel. Right? We're just always excited. We got a lot going on right now.
Yes.
Oh, my. What a great day today at church. And then we have 3 weeks from today, a very special day.
Yes, we do.
What's happening?
We will be in our new building.
Our new building.
Yes.
It's almost hard to even think that, isn't it?
It is.
And especially when you walk around it and see everything that still has to be done.
Yeah, there's a lot that still has to happen, but
it's coming right along. It's coming right along. We're very excited about what God has done and how he's provided for this ministry. Because we've been really cramped in the place where we've been for the last year or so. We've been really cramped. So it was time for expansion again, and we thank God for that, and we thank God for all he's going to do 3 weeks from today in that very, very special opening day service. If you have a pen, you can write down our new address. We will not be there till 3 weeks from today. Actually, we're there a lot during the days, but not for a service until May 19th of 2019, 5/19/19. We will be there, 10 a.m., 2058 Weaver Park Drive. Clearwater, 2058 Weaver Park Drive, Clearwater. It's right off of Hercules, right near the little airport there.
Yes.
Very nice location. Very happy to be there. We're really excited to be there, actually, aren't we?
We are very excited to be there.
And so I believe that is... Go ahead, talk to us while I get Betty on the line here.
Sure. It's a great central location. So, you know, people in Pinellas can come over. People from Tampa can come
Absolutely.
Over. People from Pasco can come down. And so we're just so blessed to have the perfect location. When we were looking for the building, you know, we had a parameter and God just, that was it. He gave it within the parameters that we needed and it was perfect.
He really did.
Yes.
You know, and it's just like when we say that, we're not just saying that. We're saying God came through, you know, and blessed us abundantly. And Betty, you are on the air with us, and your daughter Megan, you both will be here with us 3 weeks from today in the studio, actually, for our show live. Are you there, Betty?
I'm here.
So you're not excited about coming down, are you, for this big event?
You know, there are no words that can describe the anticipation of walking into that building and having the presence of Almighty God just envelop you. We're just really elated to be able to come down and be a part of it.
Yes, and that Saturday before that Sunday, I told everybody today, we are having an amazing prayer meeting that afternoon as we prepare the sanctuary, prepare the building for what God's going to do that next day. I tell you what, it makes every ache and pain that Angel and I right now are experiencing and some of our other dear Beaconites are experiencing because of things we've lifted that we should never have, and floors we have placed in place that you never should have, Dr. Angel. Down on her knees, Betty, putting in a new tile floor. Till late yesterday, she can barely walk. But you know what? You are walking. You're not. Yes. You're not laying down. You're walking.
No, and I'm here, and I feel very blessed. So, yes, it's awesome. You know what? It's a labor of love.
It is a labor of love. Yeah, and it's beautiful, Betty. I can't wait for you and Megan to see it. It's coming right along, and we've had a lot of our Beaconites come different days and help, you know, the thing we all have in common, Betty, is that all of us are aching. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can experience that. That's what I felt this morning during my prayer time for you and for everyone that's, you know, working so hard and so diligently on getting that building prepared.
Right.
And, you know, I just, you know, Megan and I both wish, like speaking for her, I wish we both could be down there to help you. She's got a strong back. I've got strong legs. so, you know, you put the two together.
Not
and,
bad,
you know,
right. Yeah.
When God commands you to do something and he gives you the, that he opens the door.
Right.
You know, it is a labor of love, but you know what? To step back and look at what it's going to be and what it's going to be for your geographical area, it's, you know, it's just a big hallelujah.
It is. We are very excited, and God gets all the glory and the praise for working out every single detail. And we even found a little restaurant that's within just across the field from our new location today after church, and it was yummy, Betty. You will like it. It's on the par of Garden Grill, if you know what I mean.
Awesome. That means good food.
It's good food, I tell you, and a lot of it, too. So, yeah, it was really good. So today we're excited about what God is doing, looking forward to an amazing show today. We're going to start right out with one of my favorite songs by Casting Crowns, and it's Thrive. I love this song. We're not just going to survive. We're in thrive mode.
Many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to
shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than
All right, it's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive, not just survive, Dr. Angel. God doesn't want us just barely making it in this Christian life, just like, oh, this Christian life is so hard, it's so hard. No, no. It's when we get in line with God's will and purpose for our lives, it ceases to be a task and it becomes the joy of our lives, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
I woke up the other night and heard this verse in Psalm 16, and I think it's verse 11, and the verse is, that there's joy in your presence. At your right hand, there's joy forevermore. And really, that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to live in joy. He wants us to live thriving in the presence of Almighty God, Betty. He does not want us to say, oh, this is so hard. Talk to me, Betty, talk.
Well, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
And that's what gives us the tenacity, and it
gives
us the will to say, okay, God, you know, I might be down in the valleys. I'm not going to go around them anymore. I'm going to try to go around the valleys. I'm going to be down in that valley so that when I come out, I'm going to be joyful. I'm going
sure.
to be more than victorious.
Amen.
I am going to be a conqueror, and that's
yes.
what God wants for us. He doesn't want us, and I'm hyper today, and I apologize, is that he wants us to be more than just, we are survivors, but he wants us to thrive.
He wants us to thrive. Yes.
Elude him everywhere we go is, you know, to let our light shine, is to be a beacon for him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he wants for us. And that's what happens when we say that joy unspeakable. Is sometimes you can't put into words how joyful that you can be in him.
Well, and why not? If that is available to us, why not learn the Father's heart? Why, I wrote a couple words down during that song by Casting Crowns, Thrive. Just to know you, it said. Just to know you. That's what it's all about. That's what this show is all about, audience. Into your word, we're digging deep to know the Father's heart. Into the world, we're reaching out to show those who you are. I'm going to read that whole phrase again, and I want you both to talk to me about that. Into your word, we're digging deep to know the Father's heart. Okay? That's what it's all about. Into the world, we're reaching out to show them who you are. What do you think about that, Betty? You there,
well,
Betty?
You know,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have you on mute.
Okay.
One of the things that we have to do is we have to let people see Jesus
yes,
through us.
Yes.
Because we are a mirror. We are to be a mirror image of Jesus Christ. And when I say that, I mean that with all respect, is that when people see us, they need to see Jesus through us. It's like a mirrored image. And it's so remarkable, especially I've noticed since we've been up here that Megan has a ministry.
Yeah.
And people who have never met her in the time that she's been up here is that Jesus is bringing people to her. Because, and he's doing the same thing. He'll do the same thing with you, listener, is that he will actually draw people to you because you have a purpose. God has a plan for you. And that's what he wants to do because that's where the joy comes from. Is that it's like when you're in despair or you're having just a really bad day. I have felt in my own life and in my spirit that when I minister to people, I get the reward back.
Right.
Because God has sent me someone to minister to or to pray for. And you get that. It's just like a breath of fresh air, is that, you know, you can take that deep breath and say, you know, my life isn't as bad as I think it
right.
is.
Right, yeah.
Is because God is there. God's on spot. His Holy Spirit is ministering through you.
Yes.
The listeners. And it's just, it amazes me what, you know, when we get into God's Word and how we let it sink into our hearts and how we start memorizing scriptures and so forth, of how that, how those are tools through God's Word that we can use just to help to minister and to advance God's kingdom.
Oh, amen. And that whole sentence goes right along with what you just said. Into the Word, we're digging to find the Father's heart. Talk to us, Angel, about that. Because that's what we're doing.
Yes.
Every day. That's what this show's about.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, the more we get to know who He is, the more we grow our faith, the
yes.
more we become like Him.
Right.
You know, when we are trying to thrive, I looked up, what does thrive really
oh,
mean?
What does it really mean?
So it means to grow vigorously.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
we're
like
made
my
to,
plants, right?
To thrive,
yeah.
we're made to grow vigorously in Him
yes.
and to flourish and prosper and to progress forward.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of us are feeling stagnant or like we're still or, you know, yeah, I have faith and I believe in God and I know He exists, but are you really growing? Are you
right.
thriving?
Are you thriving? That's what this ministry is all about. It's teaching the Word in a practical way that you can get it, you can apply it to your life, you can begin to apply it to not just your life, but your daily experiences so that your mindset begins to change because you're thinking with the thoughts that God would have you think instead of getting stuck in the rut of depression, discouragement, and all that. We are going to Luke chapter 24 today because last week we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. And I want to pick up in Luke 24 as at the crack of dawn on Sunday, which was Jesus came out of the tomb more than likely a little after sunset on Saturday night, maybe a second or two or 10 or something, but like right away, he didn't stay any longer than he was obligated to stay, right? 3 days, three nights is what he had to stay. And so that was Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. It was Thursday day, Friday day, Saturday day. And at sundown on Saturday was the end of the Passover, and it was the beginning of a brand new week. So we believe Jesus came out of that tomb, a risen Lord, a few minutes or a minute or a few seconds right after sundown, right? So now it's at the crack of dawn that next morning, and the women come to the tomb, and they are carrying burial spices that they had prepared. It was like embalming things. They were getting ready to embalm or anoint the body of Jesus with these spices. And in Mark, it says they were wondering as they walked how they were going to move that stone away, right? They didn't know how they were going to do it. They went, it's kind of cool that they went in faith carrying the spices, Angel, not knowing exactly how they were going to get inside the tomb, right?
Yes, yes, definitely it was a move in faith.
Right, and they get there and what has happened?
Yeah, it wasn't the stone was already taken care of.
But was it because the guards all just said, "Oh, let's get together and move this stone so those women can come embalm this body"?
Oh no,
it was not that,
no.
was it?
No, no, no.
It was because the angels had moved it.
Yes,
effortlessly. You can just kind of picture one of the angels kind of flipping his finger at the stone and it just kind of rolling away without any problem at all. And they walked in to the tomb, and at once inside, they could not find the body of the Master Jesus. And it says in verse 4 of Luke 24, if you're just joining us, they were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. And then, out of nowhere, the two angels show up. And it says that they were like light cascading all around them. Betty, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine how glorious that moment was when these women turn around and there's these angels right there, all made up of light, and the light just like lightning pounding off of them. Woo, is that just a sight to behold?
Well, oh my goodness, you know, in all perspective, if you think about them standing there, is could you even stand in their presence? Because that intensity that came off of them.
The light, yeah.
This is my interpretation.
Right.
The intensity coming off of them was so glorious and so bright that it almost would take your breath away for just a few seconds. It's like, what's going on? What's happened? But, you know, it seems like the presence of those beings is that it would bring them peace.
Oh, well,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe they were fearful. But again, those angelic presence were to bring peace and to bring comfort, to let them know, don't be afraid.
Right.
He's not there anymore, you know?
Oh, and isn't that the message of the gospel? The message of the gospel is that we serve a risen Lord. He did come out of that tomb. He did not need somebody or a bunch of his disciples to come steal his body and hide it and then lie about it. No, he had the power to be raised from the dead. The Father raised Jesus from the dead. And here they are, the angels saying, oh, by the way, why are you looking for the living one among the dead? I love that. In the Message Bible, why are you looking for the living one in the cemetery? Why would you look for him in the cemetery? He's not in a cemetery. Angel, where was he?
Oh, he was risen.
He was long gone.
Yes, he was out of there.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of thinking about this, like, you know, here, you know, Jesus walked with them and taught
yeah.
them every day, and he was their hope. And he, you know, so in the human, they watched him die. And that had to be a really hopeless moment
right.
when they went to that tomb to put those spices on him, because they watched him die.
Right.
All their hope was in him. Their faith was in him. And that had to be a really dark hour for them. And oftentimes in our dark hours, you know, when we feel like our hope is gone, God is up there having the angels moving stones so that
Absolutely.
He can reveal himself.
Absolutely. And in our human nature, when things have gone, quote unquote, bad in our situation, we've had a bad doctor report, or we've had a bad financial setback, or we've had something happen with one of our children or whatever. In the dark hours is when the devil really works havoc in our minds, because human nature tends to take the dark hour and magnify it. Listen, everybody, the devil wants to magnify the situation you are in. Some of you are feeling lost today. Some of you are feeling pain all through your body. Some of you are financially drained. Whatever your situation is, the devil wants to take that moment in time that you're in right now and magnify it, make it bigger than it possibly could be. Talk to me about that, Betty. And do you agree that the devil does that?
Oh, yeah, you know, you talking to me about that?
Uh-huh, yeah, you.
You know, yeah, you're going to get me started. You're going to get me on a platform here, and I ain't going to come down for a while. One of the things that I've noticed being a part of the prayer ministry is that it just seems like in the last few months and weeks is that Satan has pulled out all stops.
Oh, I agree, Betty.
There, you know, his whole thing is to seek, kill, and destroy. And nothing more he wants to do is then to bring down the body of Christ. It's to bring down, you know, and then we're speaking to children, we're speaking to men and women who are maybe going through a tough time. Okay, one of the things that happens, and I'm going to speak for myself going through a tough time, is that I tend to just think about just the circumstances that I'm in.
Right,
there's
sure.
nothing that it seems like that can break through that darkness.
Right.
The only one that can break through that darkness and broke through the darkness in this scripture, in the Bible, was when Jesus rose from the dead. Okay. When we
Amen.
Take that should be on our minds.
Yes.
365 days.
It should.
Year, not just on Easter Sunday.
You're
because
exactly
God,
right.
God he overcame the grave. So that means, listeners, that we can overcome through the power of Jesus Christ, that we can overcome whatever the devil throws at us. Is that, you know, in it tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. And that one name, if you can't say any more than just this one word, and that's Jesus,
Amen.
That will at least bring you a tiny bit of glimpse of hope. to say Jesus, and all you have to say, Jesus, help me.
Right.
Help me get through this treacherous time that I'm going through. Help me, bring me out of the darkness. The one thing I would encourage listeners to do is when you're in the valley and you're facing something that you've maybe never faced before, is to get into God's word.
Amen.
I don't care how you do it, whether you listen, whether you read, have someone read it to you, but get the word of God in you, because once that word of God goes in, God works through the darkness and he brings in the light.
Amen.
And that's what we have to do, is we have to, it is a fight. Anymore, it just seems like the fight is just getting stronger and deeper. That's where, listeners, is that we have to draw closer to him so that he can draw close to us. And there is nothing that can keep you, the love that Jesus has for you, there is nothing that can stand in the way between you and him. The devil may make you think that, you know, he's got you under his feet, but reverse that, because Jesus put the devil under your feet.
Amen. And that's a perfect segue
that.
into this song, Word of God Speak, I Believe. Listen to this. That's what this show's all about.
Myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet I hear your voice. And Word of God, speak. Would you pour down in this place? Please let me stay.
at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay.
Ooh, I love that song. Woo, the importance of being in the Word of God, people. When we find ourselves having day after day of discouragement, defeat, where we're feeling a loss or lonely, or we're just feeling like we're just not with it, something is definitely wrong. People, I practice this. I've lived this for years, getting in God's Word, asking Him to direct you to a passage or a verse that will lift you up. It works. Word of God, speak. When we have an attitude of, God, I need your word. I need you to speak to me through your word. Look out, people, because He honors that and He will do it. Now, I want to go back to Luke 24 and about verse 6 or 7, we have the angels saying to the women at the area of the tomb, remember how He, meaning Jesus, told you when you were still back in Galilee, that He had been handed over to, that He would be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up. The angels had to remind people, these Mary and all these women, because they're puzzled. They're like, where'd He go? Where'd He go? Not one of them said, oh, yeah, remember, He said He was going to come out alive after 3 days. They didn't say that. They just wondered where He was. And it says that when the angels reminded them, then they remembered Jesus' words. And they left the tomb, and they broke the news of all this to the 11 and the rest. I believe they were running. I believe Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, the other women that are right here in Luke 24, they kept telling these things to the apostles. But it says here the apostles didn't hardly believe it either. You know, and the first point I want to make today is one that I made this morning in my sermon, is that too often the devil gets in and causes us to be afraid and to be full of unbelief. Talk to us about that, Angel, because it is a human condition that we all battle.
It sure is, and it's the one that will hold us back the most. You know, when we walk in a fear, when we start letting those thoughts of fear creep in, it changes how we behave. We get paralyzed. We feel very discouraged and depression and all those things, anxiety, all those things start coming over us, and we feel very stressed and very overwhelmed very quickly as soon as we start letting fear and unbelief take over.
Exactly right. And when they take over, we become very powerless, right? We can sit in our own misery for very long periods of time, and we don't seem to get any better, because if we're not in the Word, if you were highly allergic and you were out somewhere and you got bit by something that you're highly allergic to, and somebody happened to have the right antidote in their purse or in their pocket, and they give it to you and you're feeling okay. But let's say that nobody's with you that has that and you don't have it, and suddenly you're sick, very, very ill, and you have to go to the ER. This is what happens to us spiritually and emotionally, mentally, I believe, Betty, is when we are not in the great antidote, which is the Word of God, His encouragement, when we're not hanging out in the presence of the Lord, when we're not praising, when we're just going along and feeling all the despair, it only gets worse. Talk to us about that, Betty.
Well, it does, because you have to have enough courage to be able to say, okay, God, I've got this. It's a communication error that happens with us when we get into this paralyzed state where we just can't seem to function, is communication with our Father. It's just like, you know, we can call and talk to you, Pastor. We can call Angel or whomever. Is that God wants to open that communication with us so that He can help us through whatever we're going through.
That's exactly right.
You know, the song of, I think it's Zach Williams, it says, fear is a liar. And that's where the devil wants to keep us, because fear does not come from God. It comes from the enemy, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, Lucifer, whatever. That's where it comes from. That's where he wants to keep you crippled. That's where he wants to keep the spirit of fear over you. Now, you have the same, and I've quoted this scripture so many times, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in each and every one of us. So what we have to do is get in the Word, tap into that power, and it will just raise you up above the circumstances of what you're in.
Absolutely.
There will be no opportunity. Once you get into the Word, God's Word will stick to you. It's almost like honey.
Right.
It's like when you handle honey, you know how sticky it is, and how you just have a hard time getting it off your hands.
Right.
Well, that's what it is.
Right.
God's Word is like honey. It's sweet. It's savory. And when it gets into your palate and it gets into your spirit,
right,
it leaves a sweet taste in your mouth. It leaves a sweet taste in your spirit. And what I'm trying to say is that God's Word is so important day in and day out.
Right.
We can't just do it on Sunday. It's got to, you know, it's almost like a revolving door. You've just got to keep it in it. You've got to read and got to keep listening.
Amen.
And God will honor His promises. I believe it.
I believe it, too. And when we get into fear and unbelief, it blocks our hearing. We don't hear correctly, do we, Angel? I mean, it's like we are in some other realm, and all we can think of is the depressing part or the discouraging part or the failure or the loss or the grief we're feeling. We can't seem to come out of that, you know?
It is challenging. You know, it's like it distorts all of our view and our vision.
It does.
And everything that we're taking in comes through like the glasses of, you know, fear and unbelief. And so our hope is stripped from us. And, you know,
yes,
people might be coming alongside of us and offering us good counsel or ways to help us get through this, but we can't find that hope. And we don't see how anything is going to make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the disciples felt this that morning, you know, where the tomb is empty, and they had a hard time. It says here they had a hard time believing that Jesus had really raised from the dead, even though they knew he had said that. The fear and unbelief were so strong in their minds. And people, when the devil uses those things against you, you have got to learn. You have got to learn to stand up against that. Peter jumped to his feet in verse 12 of Luke chapter 24, and he ran to the tomb. He stooped it to look in, and he saw a few grave clothes. That's all. And he walked away puzzled, shaking his head. It doesn't say that Peter, this major missionary, this major important disciple, was going, oh, that's right, he rose from the dead. No. Peter did not feel that. He did not see that. And guys, when we do not understand the power of the resurrection of Jesus, we can get stuck in our pain, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, anything. We can get stuck there. But, you know, Jesus wasn't going to let them all be stuck there. He wasn't going to let them just stay there. I'm in Luke 24, verse 13. That same day, two of these people that were following with Jesus all the time, we know one of their names, Cleopas. We're not sure of the other name. But two of them were walking to the village Emmaus. And it was about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. We're not sure why they were going there. Who knows? We know they went to somebody's house to eat dinner. We don't know if that was just a dinner invitation or what it was. But they were deep in conversation, and they were going over all these things that had happened. And so often, I propose to both of you that so often we are real good about being deep in conversation about things that have happened that we don't understand or we're mad about or we're hurt about, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, that's a human tendency.
It sure is.
We want to talk it. We want to talk the problem. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk. I'm just saying that's a human tendency. So in the middle of their talking, I love this, in about verse 16, Jesus comes up to them and walks along with them, which reminds me of that old song in the garden, you know, and he walks with me and he talks with me, right? Tells me I am his own. Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. So they were talking about everything that had happened, and that's fine, you know? Guys, so often, actually talking is good. You know, counseling's good, right, Dr. Angel?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes it's cathartic. It's very helpful to talk about what's going on. But Jesus came and walked with them, but he didn't tell them who he was. Why not, Betty? Why didn't Jesus say, oh, by the way, I'm the one, I rose from the grave? He wasn't ready to tell them that yet. I think he wanted to hear their heart. But what do you think, Betty? What do you think was going on?
I totally agree with you. I think that he wanted to be, he had a listening ear, and he wanted to hear what they had to say because they had long faces. They were downcast, and he wanted to hear what they were feeling. And that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does to all of us, is that he has such a listening ear.
Amen.
That he wants us, like I said a few minutes ago, he wants to communicate with us. And I think that's what the whole thing was on the road to Emmaus, is to just listen, to hear what Cleopas and whoever the other person was. He just wanted to hear what they had to say, because I don't know, brings tears. This always brings tears to my eyes, is that when people are hurting, Jesus is just a breath away. He's just a word away. And because that's how close he wants to be with us. That's how close he wanted to be with these two people walking
on the
road, is he wanted to hear their heart. He wanted to hear, what's wrong?
Yeah.
What's wrong? Can I have, you know, I just sometimes, and I know that, you know, Dr. Angel has, and you, and even myself, is sometimes just letting people get rid of the junk that they've dealt with maybe all week. It's just someone just took the time to listen, or someone took the time to send, in today's world, to send a letter, or to send a card, or to send a text.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. It's just to make people feel like that they are wanted, that they are needed, and that they're not alone, that Jesus is with them. And I think that's what he wanted to do with these two people walking. He wanted to let them know there was someone listening to them, someone that would always walk with them and talk with them whenever they needed it.
Amen. Danny Gokey is one of my favorite gospel performers. Angel, you and I went to a concert of his last fall. And one of the songs he did that night is one that may not be familiar to a lot of people, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. Do you want to comment on that, Angel?
Oh, wow. You know, and that...
We're going to play that right now.
That, you know, when we are really going through difficult times and we feel like the hope has been sucked out of us and we are in fear and in unbelief, it may feel like our hearts aren't even beating. We feel shattered and millions of pieces. And can we even become whole again? Like, we really feel like this is it. Like, it hurts. You know, heartache, it can physically hurt us.
I don't know if this was written right after Danny Gokey's first wife passed away to cancer. I do not know. But I know that it was out of a place of hurt in his life. Listen to these words. Maybe it'll help you, dear listener.
My weakest moment, I see you shaking your head in disgrace. I can read the disappointment written all over your face. Here come those whispers in my ear saying, who do you think you are? Looks like you're on your own from here. Grace could never reach that far. But in the shadow of that shame, beat down by all the blame, I hear you call my name, saying it's not over. And my heart starts to beat so loud now, drowning out the doubt. I'm down, but I'm not out. There's a
a thirsty soul. The broken side begins to heal, and grace returns what guilty stole. And in the shadow of that shame, deep down by all the blame, I hear you call my name, saying it's not over, and my heart starts to beat so loud now, drowning out. For the woman at the well, grace wins. For the blind man and the beggar, grace wins. For always and forever, grace wins. For the lost out on the street, grace wins. For the worst part of you and me, grace wins. For the thief on the cross,
song, but my CD was obviously misprinted.
Yes, I was going, wow, that's not that song.
That is not that song, but you know what? That was a great song.
That was a good song.
And so, you know, as I began to realize it wasn't the right one, and it is marked that it is, that number 10 on that CD, you know what? That's okay, because it was for somebody. Grace does win every time, Dr. Angel. It does. God's got grace, which is his empowering presence that allows us to rise above what we are not to become all that he is. And when we are weak and we are discouraged and we're defeated and we are in physical pain and emotional turmoil and emotional pain, grace wins every time. His empowering presence. I love this definition of grace. His empowering presence that causes us to rise above what we are not to become all that he is in our situation. Comment on that. We'll go to Betty.
Well, and it's amazing that we have the living God who can abundantly pour grace on us. You know, we can't earn it. There's nothing we can do to deserve it. You know, that's what makes it so amazing. And I think a lot of times, you know, in the human flesh world, you know, we want to be able to like earn things. We want to be able to work hard enough to get it. And it doesn't make sense that God just has this grace for
us.
Not because of who we are, but because of who he is.
Because of who he is. Exactly. And these two guys are walking along to the road to Emmaus, and they're in pain. They're in emotional pain. They're in mental turmoil. They don't understand why Jesus was taken from them. And so as they're walking, and Jesus says, tell me what happened. And then he begins to explain the scriptures. And he started clear back at the beginning. And he began to explain everything that had happened. And they were saying, wait a minute, our hopes were so high. We thought Jesus was going to be our deliverer, going to deliver Israel. And now it's the third day since this happened. And then they tell Jesus, they don't know that it's him because he's incognito. And they tell him about the ladies, the women going to the tomb, and the body is not there. And then they also say they saw angels. And the angel said he was alive, and we're just so confused. And at this point in verse 25 of Luke 24, Jesus opens their eyes to hear the truth about him all through the scripture. Betty, I love the fact that in verse 25 of Luke 24, he calls them thick-headed and slow-hearted. Love that. Because we've all been thick-headed and slow-hearted at one time or night, right? And he says, why can't you simply believe everything that the prophet said? And I think part of that is because they probably didn't know everything the prophet said. You know, a lot of times, you know, our ignorance gets in our way. We just don't know what the scripture says about this or that. Talk to us, Betty, about this. And it basically says that this had to happen. It had to happen.
Well, I think sometimes that we get so bogged down in our circumstances, or we get so bogged down in the things that are surrounding us as it did at that time, that, you know, they thought, you know, Jesus was, you know, he was the Savior. He was going to, you know, be who he said he was. But I think a lot of times, and I had a kind of a vision, you know, after we decided yesterday afternoon that I would set in for Megan, is that God gives us little snippets of preparing us for what lies ahead of us. And sometimes we have a tendency to forget what he told us maybe back when. And I think it's so important that if God gives you something that is preparing you maybe for a new adventure,
right,
as you do, writing it down, that a lot of times we forget. The devil has a tendency to, like you said, create a barrier in our mind. Our hearing becomes dull. Our eyes just don't see clearly what has transpired.
Amen. That's so true.
Various times through the scripture, God said, you know, you can tear down this temple, but I will rebuild it again in 3 days.
Exactly. He told him three different times or more.
I mean, yeah. More. Yeah, exactly. And so what they have to understand is that, yes, he told them that. Did it stick? Did it adhere? Did they keep it in their hearts? Did they put it in the back of their minds? We don't know. But again, when we see the death, when we see death as someone's been taken from us, you know, as they did, you know, Jesus, you said this, this, and this, and now you're gone, and now you're not there. You know, confusion creeps in. Fear creeps in. Loss creeps in. And that's where we have to believe that what Jesus told them was true. God,
Amen.
You know, God says, you know, if God says it, it's real. It's true,
Amen.
People. And
Amen.
That's what I think that these people were seeing is like, why, you know, Jesus told them, what is wrong? You know, open your eyes, people. Open your hearing. Let me see me. You know, it's just like, see me, I'm right here.
Right.
What I told you was true.
Yes.
But again, I think they saw the circumstances of the actual death on the cross, seeing him being taken down, buried, you know, that's
right.
A ritual that, you know, has been for centuries, is when people, you know, pass on, they're buried and you never see them again. But
right.
they you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, so very, very true. We got so much more we want to talk about here in the next hour. So don't go anywhere from us. Just hang right with us or call a friend and ask him to join us. Dr. Angel, please talk for a moment about our show on Thursday night and why people should tune in.
All right. Well, Thursday night here on this channel at 6:06 p.m., we have Go Yard. That's with me, Dr. Angel, and with Pastor, her alter ego, Mama Mac. And we are a life coaching show just helping our listeners learn to hit those home runs in life. And you cannot afford to miss this show because it's great practical tools to help you get through and to thrive.
What did we start talking about last week, part one of the new series?
We talked about victims versus victors.
That's right. Victims versus victors. And we were both high-fiving each other at the end of this because we felt like it went so much better than we even expected it to.
It sure did. And this week we're going to talk about, you know, pressing through to that victory.
Yes, we are. And how to do that and get out of that victim mentality, because a lot of people are stuck right there. Betty, we also have a prayer ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in our 18th year. Is that right? Yeah, we're in our 18th year. We'll celebrate our 18th anniversary September 29th of this year. And so a lot's been going on at Beacon of Hope, but one of the mainstays through all these years is the prayer ministry that you and Pastor Jim and Shell send out the prayer requests about. Can you just talk to about that for just a few seconds?
Yes. We ask that, you know, there's no prayer too big, no prayer too small that our Lord God can't handle. And we ask that if you have a prayer request, is that you send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And myself, Pastor Jim, or Shell will pick up that prayer request, and we will send out a prayer below your request to all of the prayer warriors who are on our prayer chain. And when we, where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst of them. And we have seen, and we could have a whole show on the last, you know, these last few weeks of the praise reports that we have gotten, because Jesus still answers prayer.
Oh, he again, so does.
If you want to be a part of the prayer team, just send us a, hey, add me to your list. I want to be a part of this mighty moving force. Just, again, send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com, and we would be more than happy to add you.
Amen. Check out our website, which is also bohmglobal.com. Stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. www.bohmglobal.com. Check us out. We got a lot of things on there. We're going to have to put on there right away opening day, May 19th, in our brand new facility, 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. Easy to find. It's basically between Drew and Sunset Point in Clearwater, right off of Hercules. So kind of in between Drew and Sunset Point, right off of Hercules, easy to find. Mark your calendar for May 19th, three weeks from today, and come and join us for an amazing first Sunday in our new facility. And by then, Dr. Angel will have all the work done that she's working on, right?
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 106.1.